Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you right now for this precious preaching privilege. We pray that you would punish not your people for the frailty of this preacher. God, we honor you. We lift your name up. We magnify you in this moment right now. Extract out of us all that you have ordained for this moment. God, give me clarity of mind and speech to speak only those things that will bring you glory, that will edify this body, challenge the believer, and bring conviction on the sinner. We ask and pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would take charge of this house right now. Fill this tabernacle with your presence. God, change us while we're here. Transition us now to recognize the awesomeness of your power. We thank you for the testimonies that declare your goodness, your strength, your might, your awe, your wonders. God, we're in awe at the amazing things you've done in our lives. And then, God, we celebrate afresh Jesus Christ, our resurrected Savior, and his finished work on the cross. We thank you, God. He left nothing undone relative to giving us eternal life. God, I pray even right now you lift the hearts and the spirits of those who are in this sanctuary, regardless of the sadness, the sorrow, or the circumstance. God, you're God, and you're God all by yourselves. I pray that every ear would be attentive and open to what your spirit will speak unto us. And God, revive us through your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 11. Be reading from the King James Version, and there you'll find these words recorded. And such were some of you, but, look at your neighbor and say, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You may be seated. And such were some of you, but you were washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God, as we call him, the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is a message that we really want to tag and share in preparation for our revival. Simply, this change in me. This change in me. If you just know you've been born again, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you ought to slap your neighbor, high five, and say, I know I've been born again. Y'all ain't saying one thing. I know I've been born again. Amen. Amen. I know I've been born again. Amen. You may not think so, but I know been born again. Amen. On our way to heaven. Amen. Signed, sealed, and delivered on our way to heaven. Amen. This change in me. I was thinking about a book by Richard Hofler titled Will Daylight Come? And in that book by this gentleman, he gives an illustration that kind of helps us to understand how sin enslaves us, but yet how the grace of God and forgiveness frees us. And he tells a story in that book of a young man by the name of Johnny who goes to visit his grandparents. And when he gets there, he is blessed to receive his first slingshot. And he goes out in the woods like little boys do, and everything that he takes aim at, he misses. But he comes back close to home, and he's in the backyard with the slingshot still practicing, and he takes sight on the duck that belonged to his grandmother. And you probably already know that while he missed everything out in the field, he hit that duck in her backyard. In hitting the duck, he strikes it so hard that the duck is killed immediately, and he realizes that this was his grandmother's duck. I don't know if it was a favorite duck, but he realizes that it was his grandmother's duck. And he does what every little boy that gets in trouble tries to do. He tries to hide it. He takes grandmother's duck, and it's dead, and he hides it in the wood pile, thinking that no one is going to see him, no one is going to find him out, no one's going to uncover him, and no one's going to get him in any trouble. But unbeknownst to him, his older sister, Sally, is standing around watching everything but didn't say nothing. Y'all grew up with some folk like that. Amen. That watched you as everything you did, you thought you were getting away with, and they saw it all but didn't say anything. Now, you know that the reason why they don't say anything, because they're going to use it later. So later on, when Granddaddy was ready to go out and to allow them to enjoy some time playing, and Sally's turn was to wash the dishes, and she wanted to get out of them, and so she just whispered over to Johnny and says, "You can't go play outside right now." I said, "Why not? You got to wash the dishes. I'm going outside." "No, remember the duck." He drudgingly goes into the kitchen and busts those suds and knocks out those dishes. Well, a few days later, Grandfather decides they would go down to the lake and fish and enjoy themselves there, catching a few fish. And little Johnny is all excited, but again, big sister, who had some chores at home, leans over him and says, "Johnny, remember the duck." And so once again, he has to carry out her chores. And this goes on for a few days, and they continue to operate according to this principle that he has the opportunity to enjoy life, and then she comes and reminds him of the duck, and then there he is on the hook to perform her duties and his. But then finally, little Johnny got a little fed up with this process, and he decides that he would finally go to his grandmother and confess what he has done. And interestingly, not only has Sally seen him in what he did in killing the duck, but his grandmother was watching as well. And she says to him, she says, "Grandson, while you didn't see me, I saw you. And I was looking out of the window and I saw everything. I saw you hit the duck with the rock. The duck fell dead. You picked the duck up, carried him over to the wood pile, buried him in the wood pile. And for 2 or 3 days now, I've watched you as a slave to Sally, your sister, doing her chores and yours." She said, "I knew eventually it was weighed so heavily upon you that you were going to come to me." And grandmother says, I know all about what you've done." And she gives Johnny a hug. And she says, "I already forgiven you because I know that you didn't mean to kill the duck." And she says, "I forgave you because I love you." But she said, "I wondered how long you were going to live and let Sally make you a slave to what you had done." When I thought about that narrative and that story that Mr. Hoffler uses, I thought about our relationship with Christ and how interesting it is that when you think that you are beyond some stuff, we have this rascal called Satan that wants to bring you to the place where he reminds you of who you were and how you were and what you were and how long you did it and who you were doing it with. But can we just celebrate a fact right now on this morning that once we have been cleansed, once we have been washed in the blood of Christ, our past has no power over our present. Oh, y'all clapping like you're still in the same place. He continues to bring charges that cause us to walk in who we were and not who we are right now. And when you really think about it, you have to come to the conclusion that it reveals to us that even in the best of us, there is some badness. Are y'all going to talk to me? I know you didn't show up at church to hear about the badness that's in you, but in the best of us, regardless of how good you look right now, there is some badness there. And we've ran away from situations and gotten out of neighborhoods and quit jobs trying to get away from trouble that was all around us. But can I tell you, you can run from all of that external stuff, but there's one somebody you'll never be able to outrun, and that is yourself. Eventually, we're going to have to deal with the reality of all the stuff that's present in our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I've got some help. when it comes to all the stuff that's wrong with me. I can't answer for you, but I'm just talking about me today. I thank God I've got some help when it comes to the things that are happening in my life. And let me just tell you this, just because you get saved doesn't mean that all of your troubles are over. Can I tell you, I thank God for those things that when I accepted Jesus Christ, that he immediately took away from me. But can I just tell you that there are some other things that it's still a process. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Some things in our life don't just happen overnight. The Holy Spirit has to work with us and bring us to the fullness of the manifestation of the Christ life in this reality that we're struggling with. I wish I had a church in here this morning to just be honest and just say, Pastor, I know I'm saved, but there's some stuff I still struggle with. Let me tell you what the good news of the text is that Paul, I'm trying to rush through this thing today. The good news of the text is that Paul is writing to a church that had been called out of a carnal culture, but they still struggle with themselves. Have I got any witnesses in here? You can be just as saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit and in the same place in your mind being settled and knowing that you're saved can wrestle with some stuff that's just as sinful, that's just as depraved, that's just as low down and messed up. But God be praised today that when we find ourselves in that place, we got some help on the inside of us called the Holy Ghost. So Paul writes this letter to the church at Corinth that struggled with their carnality. Those of you may not remember, about 5 years ago, we did a series called Cutting the Carnal Out of the Church. Let me just tell you, the reality of that is you may never cut all of it out, but it ought to be a little better as we go day by day. It ought to be a little less as we go closer and closer to Christ in our daily walk, that we're not the same as we were. And you ought to be able to measure your progress. Yeah, y'all not just hang out in church for 30, 40 years and be in the same place you were when you first joined. If we're really walking with him and in the light of his word, we're going to see a change in our lives. Paul was writing to this church that in chapter 6, they had gotten to the place they were having lawsuits against each other. And not only were they having lawsuits, they were taking their issues that were going on between brothers and sisters inside the house to folk who wasn't even saved to handle their issues. And Paul addresses them. He said, listen, all of us have wronged one another. And if you don't think you wronged one another, all of us have wronged Christ. Let there be some forgiveness and some long suffering and some forbearing among us because we are not perfect. And if you can keep that context all the way through what Paul says thereafter, understand that we are not perfect. We are creatures and we are saved and God is working to bring perfection in us, but we're not there yet. Then as he deals with them as they are in the place where they have been suing and having lawsuits against one another, he transitions around verse number 9. And begins to deal with the conduct in their physical body as a temple of God. Can I just tell you today that our bodies belong to him and not to us? The first thing I want to lift out of this text is that we thank God about this change in us because we have come out of condemnation. He gives a list in verses 9 and 10 that may not be your list, but it is a list. It's a list of those things that we've done in our bodies that have abused our own selves. In other words, we've engaged in things that were outside of the will of God that caused us to be violators and to violate the will of God because they are, number one, carnal, meaning that those things are flesh-led. Let me just tell you, you're going to always struggle as a believer if you're led by your flesh rather than the Spirit of God. They're fleshly. They come out of our desires, and our desires are always opposite of what God's will for our lives is. Not only are they carnal, they are the things of confusion. Because you would ask yourself, why would you engage in these things that he lists in the text and other things if you thought that they were bad for your health, bad for your life? Well, the reason why individuals get caught in these things is because we don't understand the things of the kingdom. The Bible tells us the things of God are spiritually discerned, so the natural man cannot even begin to understand them. None of us would even have come to the place of salvation if the Spirit of God had not drawn us through the place of conviction that was resulting from our realization that we are sinners and outside of His will. It's carnal, it's confusion, but then it's also costly. When you think about the cost of sin in your life, not just someone else's life, but sin is always costly. It takes us farther than we were willing to go, makes us do more than we were willing to do, and always charges us more than we can afford to pay. Sin is costly. James tells us that sin has a process, that when it's done with us, it brings forth our death, but it doesn't show death in the beginning. It's fun, it's joy, happy time, while we're destroying ourselves, giving ourselves to sinfulness, because it is our characteristic. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, he said that we were dead in our trespasses and in our sins. In other words, the stuff we were doing, we thought we were alive in the life of the party, but we really were bringing death to ourselves. We were bringing condemnation upon ourselves, because where we were was carnal, it was confusion, it was costly, it was our characteristic. But can you thank God that it closed because of a change? I wish I had some help here. Paul, here in this verse 11, he begins, he says, and such, he does not say is some of us, but he says, and such were some of us. I wish you could just catch that moment right there and begin to rejoice right now for the things that you used to be, but you are no longer. I'm not asking you to wave a hand and open your mouth and give your testimony about where you were and who you were, but if you could just get it in your mind and in your spirit right now, and then begin to simultaneously rejoice, because you're not where you were and who you were, but you're something different. You ought to thank God that He closed that chapter of condemnation that was costly and carnal and confusing and your characteristic. He closed that chapter and brought a change in your life. All I'm trying to tell you is that's what revival is really all about. When you understand that I'm not the same as I was, something happened and I'm no longer the same. He touched me and now I am made whole. Have I got a witness in here that can just wave a hand and say, Pastor, I'm part of the redeemed. I know it was the blood over my life, and I thank God that He changed me. Let me just give you this one for free. Some folk couldn't stand to be in your presence if it were not for the change that Lord made in your life. Your husband, your wife would have walked out a long time ago if it were not for the change in your life. Your church members and your choir members would have walked out on you a long time ago if it were not for the change that God wrought in your life. Your boss would have fired you. Your friends would have stopped answering the phone. But oh, what a change came over you. And you can say that no matter what folks look at and see on the outside, you're not the same person. You looked at your hands and they look new. Look down at your feet and they did too. The places you used to go, you don't go there no more. And the things you used to say, you don't have to say no more. Because tell your neighbor, a change done come. I know the blues singer said that we waiting on that chain, the chain's going to come. But can I tell you, if you're in Christ, your change has already come. But let me just tell you, when the next connect comes in, that when the change does happen, it requires you to walk in a different way. I wish I had some help here. It requires a different posture in the spirit. It requires you to understand something a little differently, because there's a change that happened. You don't want to mess up the work that God has done in your life by being with every knucklehead in every corner and every bar in every nook and cranny. Some things you got to understand. You can't operate here no more because you've been changed. After all that I've done with this body, can you just think, after all I've done in this body, in this flesh, after all I've abused it in, he still has something good. Oh, I wish y'all would hear me right there. Some of us were drinking so much that we are surprising that you even have a liver that functions right now. Some of us were so high on dope and marijuana, it's a wonder that you ever came down to your senses. Some of us got behind the wheel of a car so drunk that you couldn't even see straight. But God took care of us. And with those same bodies, we have an opportunity now that where we were once slaves, as Romans tells us, where we were once slaves to sin and we operated according to the will of our flesh, now he says our bodies are given up that we can serve God with our body. Let me just help you understand the beauty of that. The same body that you were in the club shaking and dropping like it's hot, you can give a praise dance in honor and glory to the Lord. The same lips that used to cuss and to give folks hell when you were in the streets gives God glory and praise. The same hands that used to knock folk out are lifted up now saying, Lord, I surrender with these same bodies. We got a precious opportunity before us. I tell you, a change has come over us. And see, when you come to church understanding what God is doing in your life, you don't have time to worry about what he's doing in somebody else's. I got enough issues in my own life that I don't have time to come to try to fix what's going on in yours. But the one thing that works for all of us is that we open our hearts and our ears to hear the word of God. He'll do the transformation. Here it is. You came out of condemnation. Let me just tell you, when I thought about that this week, I thought about the fact it would have been good if he just let me come out of that and left me alone. If he just let me come out from under that and just leave me where I was, where I don't have to deal with that anymore, I would have been good. But can I tell you, there's another point in this text. Not only have we come out of condemnation, but number two, we are blessed to be brand new. You ought to give your neighbor a high five. Slap them a good high five and tell them, neighbor, I'm brand new. Let me prove it in the text. The text tells us that you were some of those things in verses 9 and 10, but that's not who you are. Who we are is what the text says. He says, you are not under condemnation anymore, but you are washed. I wish I had some help right here. You're not under condemnation anymore, but you are sanctified. Y'all ain't said that. You're not under condemnation, but you are justified. If I look real close at that, all that really says to me is that while he has cleansed me, he also made me into something else. Because I hear Paul, I hear him in my spirit say, if any man is in Christ, he is a brand new creature. Can I see the hands of those who are in here that can say, I'm brand new? I know you're looking for an upgrade to download. I know you're trying to find your best and your next best thing. I know you're trying to level up and trying to climb the corporate ladder. But can you just celebrate the fact that when you woke up this morning, not only were mercies brand new, but you are brand new for the mercy. So here it is. When I look at the translation of the text gives us in three contexts. It gives us washed, it gives us sanctified, it gives us justified. But when you read the text in other versions, it says you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. I couldn't understand the dynamic of what was taking place, were and are. What do you mean? Well, what he showed me was, he says that what happened was a finished work that you ain't got to add none to. But it also has relevance in your present state and condition. In other words, he didn't just wash you yesterday so you could be clean yesterday. But he washed you so that when he washed you, it was good yesterday, but it brings forward to the day you still clean. He didn't just sanctify you yesterday and set you apart on the day you were baptized and call you to do what he called you to do, but you have been sanctified and he brings it forward to your present. justify you of all that wrong on yesterday. But he justified you and brings that justification to your present, so that the devil, every time he begins to get in your ear and tell you about what you used to do and who you used to be, you can remind him, devil, you are defeated, number one, and go back to where you came from. Because I'm justified. Here it is. Use the word wash. What I begin to see in him, Minister Ferguson, is I saw the Trinity at work. He says you've been washed. The word tells us in other scriptures later in the New Testament, talks about that we're washed through Jesus and the washing of regeneration through the word. It's not the word that's pages in a book, but the word, as John tells us, that became flesh. In other words, he tells us that we have been washed by the Son, which says to me that there was a transaction that had to take place. The transaction was on a hill called Calvary, where he was hung between two thieves, and they put nails in his hands, and they drove spikes in his feet, put a crown of thorns on his head, and a spear in his side. There was a transaction that caused blood to flow from him that was holy and unsinful and untainted on behalf of every sinner's sins in the world. He made a transaction that washed all who would trust him. The word he uses is not like that quick shower that we jump in the water and we get out. Well, the word wash means that we wash completely. Here's what I want you to catch in this: to wash it off and to wash it away. I've never played paintball, but I'm kind of interested in it. I don't want to get hit with a paintball because it may hurt. But I was reminded of friends of mine that played in high school, and they would go and they were joking one day about one of the players in the game. They had enough time to play two games. And in the game they had, one of the gentlemen was hit with the paintball, and when you get hit with the paintball, you supposed to stand up and hold your weapon in there and say, I'm out, until you get out of the bounds of where they're playing, because you're out of it. But I discovered that as they kept talking, that one of the players that had gotten eliminated in the first game came back in the first game, but he still looked like those stains were present from the first game. And one of the buddies asked him, said, "Did you bring a change of clothes?" "No, I didn't think to bring some change of clothes." "Well, why are you present in the second game with the clothing that's still stained from your presence in the first game where you got out?" He said, "Well, first of all, I didn't know I was going to play another game. And then secondly," he says, "I just didn't know the rules of the game." And one of them thankfully informed him. He said, "You do understand that the paint from paintballs does wash off. All you had to do was go to the back of the facility, and there's a place there where you can wash yourself so that you can play another game." I wish y'all would hear me right now. And so much, that's what we need to understand, that when we were in sin, we were really knocked out of the game. But aren't you glad that there's a station you can go to that washes all of the stain away, and you can get back in and keep playing? If you don't catch anything else I say today, all I want you to understand is that you got to get back in the game. You got to dust yourself off and wash yourself in the word of God and get back on the battlefield for the Lord. You got to understand that life is not over because you messed up. He made a way because he washed all of our sins away. Took them away. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, just how far your sins are from you. As far as I understand, those things never touch. Amen. He says that we've been washed. But not only have we been washed, he says that we have been sanctified. All that word really means is that you have been set apart. You've been set apart for God. Hallelujah, in this house. He says not only did he change your posture and your position by washing you, but then he sets you in a place where you can be an effective ministry vessel for his glory.
those that have caused frustration and grief to the Holy Spirit by our sin can be transformed to the place where you bring great glory and honor to his name because the Holy Spirit has your life. Here it is. I want to share this. Oh, well, we often run around here bragging. I know I got the Spirit. I know I got the Spirit. And that's probably the problem with our life is that we got the Spirit and it does not have us. Because when you got him, you can lay him down wherever you choose and how you choose and think you can pick him back up when it's convenient for you. But when he's got you, he will direct your steps and your path in a way that will bring God glory. Even though you got to visit the vicissitudes of the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear any evil because the Spirit is with you and guiding you. He's a comforter and a company keeper. Even though we're in a place of sadness, he will bring you joy because you've been set apart unto him. Can I see the hands in here to know you've been set apart unto him? Now you may say, Pastor, I don't know what my assignment is. Well, right now your assignment is to walk in the level of obedience to whatever has been manifest and revealed to you. And God will put one step after the other if you just learn how to obey him. But understand you belong to him and not to yourself because you have been set apart. Now this message is for believers today. If you're sitting there and you're struggling, you got the Google eyes and you don't quite understand, maybe it's time when we give the invitation to get this thing right. But for the believer, you got to understand that you have been set apart. And Ephesians 2:10 tells us he didn't set you apart to look pretty, but for good works. He got some work for you, baby. You got to get on the battlefield. You got to get in the vineyard. That's the only way you're going to get your reward. You can't get it sitting in the pews and sitting at home. You got to get busy for the one who gave his all for you. That's how you show him thanks and gratitude, is by understanding I've got to serve him until I die. But not only that, I love this part. The reason why we can celebrate because of the work of the Son in washing us and the work of the Holy Spirit in sanctifying us. Let me just say this. Sanctification is a process. It's a process in your life that sometimes we can get frustrated in. But let me just tell you how it works. It works, first of all, in my position, in that we were set apart under God from the moment we were saved. Can we celebrate that? That's your posture. That's your position. Colossians tells us in chapter 1 that he transposes our position. In other words, he takes us and translates us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son. In other words, he changes your citizenship. Position. But then the experience that you're presently in the middle of, he sanctifies you through your ups and your downs, through your smiles and your frowns, through your criticisms and your crisis moments. He is shaping you into what brings him glory. God is in control, and believers are being sanctified by the work of God through the Holy Spirit. Shame on the believer that will claim possession of the Holy Spirit and there's no works, there's no evidence of his presence in our lives. There ought to be evidence that the Holy Spirit is present, active and working in our lives, because the change causes us to do things differently. But also, when we think about a position and experience, ultimately we're going to be sanctified forever. Do you know that heaven is the eternal sanctification for the believer? In that we are set apart not only for God, but to be with God forever. Can I just tell you, that's the beauty of eternal life, is that we're going to spend it with the one that paid the debt that we can be there, that bought the ticket that you can be there. You're going to be set apart to be with him and to worship and to glorify him for all of eternity. Does that sound interesting to anybody? Because if that doesn't sound interesting, then heaven might not be our place that we want to go to, because it's reserved for those that want to be in his presence forever. But when we look at justification, here it is. It is God
rendering us just or innocent, even though there's evidence that we're guilty. Even though there's evidence, caught red-handed, got your own video saying it, doing it, and yet he declares no penalty. It is not designed to just make us free, but is the declaration that gives us our liberty. I want you to follow what I'm saying here. He doesn't just make us free so we can be free to do what we want to do. I told those of you who were there last Sunday night that when the man that had laid at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years had strengthened his legs and had the ability to go where he wanted to, he could have went a whole lot of places that were not good. But we find him going directly to the temple to give God glory because he was grateful for what he had done. So here it is. When God has gotten you off the hook, even though you were guilty, there's a sense of gratitude that comes along with it, that we don't want to mess up or disappoint or hurt God because he has done so much for us. Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 6 verse 1. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, that we who are dead to sin should not live any longer therein. There's a desire to step out of and to step over that stuff that cost us and caught us up, that we might live in the place of victory. Justification says that I can live in the place where I don't have to struggle with sin in my life anymore. I know y'all tired, and I'm ready to get out of here too. So I'm going to give you this last point. And I almost missed it in the text, but the last point is, not only do we thank God for the change in us that brought us out of condemnation and made us brand new, but then lastly, I saw that this demonstration of discipleship can be duplicated. Look at the text. It says that the reason why we became free is because we had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because there's power in the Spirit of God that works in our lives. Now, I want you to understand that this is not just unique to you and you alone. You're not the only one that's ever confessed hope in Christ and knows the power of the Holy Spirit. Actually, what he wants you to understand is that the same process that worked for you, he wants it to work in somebody else. So here it is. Your assignment for tomorrow is to understand that if we came in here to rejoice in the change in us, and to thank God that we are no longer the same, that we've come out of condemnation ourselves, that we have been made new because he washed us in his blood. He sanctified us by his Spirit. And then the Father has declared us justified, that by the same process of having faith in Jesus Christ and having the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of you, that same power can work for somebody else. Let me just help you have yourself a good week in evangelism this week. You need to stop looking past people that you say are not good candidates for the grace of God. Because all you got to do is just rewind to the beginning of this verse where I just told you that it wasn't somebody else, it wasn't your neighbor that allowed to come out of condemnation. It was you and I. And you think about where you were, and if you had never heard anybody tell you that there was a man by the name of Jesus that was able to handle the ugliness of your life, where would your life be right now? Some of us would be in jail, and some of us would be in hell. Some of us would be out of our mind, and some of us would be on our way to losing our mind. But because Jesus came in your life, he changed your life and turned your life around. Well, here it is. He tells us that we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which suggests to us that there is a need for us to confess him as the Lord of our lives. And not only that, we have the administrative presence of the Holy Spirit that comes in and directs our lives in Jesus Christ.
He wants us to understand that you've got power to slay your own will and agenda and cause you to live a life that brings glory to the name of Christ. But I want y'all to leave here on Sunday, July 28th, understanding that the power that's working in you is still good for your neighbors. It's still good for your co-workers and even your enemies. I want to tell you today the reason why some of us have trouble in our lives and you can't get along with some people is because they really need you to introduce them to Jesus. And until you introduce them to Jesus, there'll always be a strain and a struggle in your relationship. You need to tell somebody that one Friday evening on a hill called Calvary, he died for my sin and he also died for yours. I know you may be caught up in some stuff right now, but the same power that arrested my spirit, it will arrest yours and change your life. I need to see the hands in here right now of anybody that knows that there's power in the name of Jesus, that Jesus is still the answer for all the world's ills, that Jesus is still the answer for all of our problems and our insecurities, that Jesus is still the answer for all of our sins and our struggles. We need to leave him thanking God that discipleship can be duplicated. And can I tell you, according to Matthew chapter 28 that's open in this Bible right here, we not only have an opportunity, but we have a mandate from him. He says, go into all the world and teach them to observe all things, whatever I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I was telling my wife the other day, it's strange around here. We hadn't been in the water in a few months. It may not bother you, but it bothers me that our discipleship is not being duplicated. Ain't nobody coming to know who Jesus is. Pews are still empty, even though hearts are still full, because we need to tell somebody at home, somebody in the neighborhood, somebody on the corner that Jesus still works and the blood has power. Oh shucks, I'm looking at folks who are looking back at me like ain't nothing going on. All I'm trying to tell you, there's power in the name of Jesus. Somebody said, how do you know there's power? I tried him for myself and I found out he'll change your life around. Can I see your hand one more time? Is there anybody here? No, there's a change in your life. A change come over you. You got to tell it wherever you go. You got to tell somebody, he touched me and he made me whole. Is there anybody glad? I'm not the same. He changed my life. He changed my life and made me over. I thank God that I'm still on the wheel. He's still working on me. He's still moving in my life. You may get frustrated with where you are, but tell your neighbor, hold on. It's not that season yet. Hold on. When God gets through with me, I shall come forth as pure gold. Hold on. Wait a minute. His hand is still on my life, but be glad you didn't know me yesterday. I'm totally different. Keep on keeping your hands in the master's hand. He's not done with you, but tell somebody, follow me as I follow Christ, and together we're going Is there anybody here that want to bring him glory? Yes. Yes. Glory. Hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down, I thank God. Yes. Laid them down. I laid them down. I'm so glad I don't have to pick them up anymore. Anybody laid them down and you caught a hold of Jesus and he never let go of your hand? Can anybody thank God that in the midnight hour he walks with you, he talks with you, and he tells you that you are his own, you belong to him, and he's your savior? Tell somebody on your pew right now, I know who Jesus is. I know who Jesus is. I know who Jesus is. He can work in your life. He can change your life. Neighbor, trust him. Even right now, he's able. We serve an able God. He's able to change your life. Give him glory. Yeah.
Praise God. We've been washed, sanctification and justified in his blood. A change in me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Discipleship, invitation is at this time. If you don't know God, so pardon your sins, you can come. You can come by candidate for baptism. Romans 10 and 9 reads that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth thou shalt be saved, Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you can come. Or you can come a testimony this morning. I really take your life, give it back to him again. You know your life not where it should be, you can come and rededicate your life.
Said the Lord, come let us reason. Come, reason together. Said the Lord,
God gave his life, he gave his love, he gave everything.
Though your sins be like scarlet,
if you're hurting today, you can come.
Jesus said he could make them white, white as snow.
But
Jesus said, I'll make you whole. Come, let us reason. Reason together, said the Lord. Come, let us reason. Let us reason together. He said he could make them white, white as snow. Though they be red,
amen,
like crimson. Jesus said, I'll make you whole. And what we need to do is come on. Need to come on to Jesus.
The Lord today.
You ought to come on to Jesus. Just come on to Jesus. Don't wait, come on to Jesus. You ought to come on to Jesus. We need to come on to Jesus. We ought to come on to Jesus. Come on, we ought to come on to Jesus. Come on,
come. Amen. We certainly thank God for his blessings toward us on this day. Amen. We do have several that have come. We have some for statements and some for request of prayer. So I want to begin over here. We have a request.
Thank you. To Pastor Davis and my church family, I want to ask you to pray for my sister, who will still have to go and get some kind of test done. She's at home today. And I talked to her about 6:30 this morning. She's feeling pretty good. But then that can change in a minute. So, because she had planned to come to church. So y'all pray for her. Amen. And I wanted you to pray for Deacon Moses Bone, one of my cousins from Hurricane Chapel who had a stroke, and he is in the hospital. Amen. And I know prayer work.
Amen. Amen. Good afternoon, church.
Good afternoon.
I've come asking for prayer. For about the past 4 or 5 months, I've been going through a lot. Some may know I have a mother that suffers from Parkinson's. She was supposed to have a surgery to help the Parkinson's. Then all of a sudden, at the last second, they changed and they wouldn't do it. Then I got sick with kidney stones. Then I had to have a kidney stone surgery. Then my wife got sick. And then she back and forth from the emergency room. Then she had to have a surgery. And it's taken a lot on me. It's that I've been going through so much, but I'm trying to just keep my faith. Because it's hard when you're going through so many different things. And I'm praying. And as soon as I think something's good is going to happen, something just worse happens. I'm thankful for Fred Lord. He's my son's godfather. He's my deacon. He's my neighbor, but he's my best friend. You know, I look at him as my big brother, and it's good that I can come talk to him. But now I'm coming to the church just saying, hey, I need prayer because it's hard. And sometimes you want to give up. And I'm coming specifically to ask for this prayer because I stress and I worry a lot. And she may get mad at me for saying this, but I remember one morning I was talking to my wife, and she had tears in her eyes, and she said, CJ, it's time that I wake up in the middle of the night to see if you're breathing, because I worry and stress about you so much that you're going to die from your worry and your stress. So I just come for you, Lord, just the church, just to ask you, just to pray for me that I'm able to get over the things that I'm going through, and just to pray that I have more peace and patience and not to stress and worry so much.
Amen.
Good morning, church. I'm asking for prayer for my sister, Tiffany Simone Bodeker, and her family, and my brother, Preston Richard Ferguson. I'm praying that God is going to awaken their spirits and bring them back. My sister fights with fear. But I keep telling her that God has not given us the spirit of fear, and she has nothing to fear.
Amen.
As long as the Holy Spirit Amen. Continues to hold her. So just Amen. Continue to pray for my family.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Good afternoon, church. I just wanted to come and ask the church to pray for my mom. She's a little over a month now. She's not able to walk. Legs and arm, hands and arm and numb. And they don't seem to know what the problem is. So she's supposed to go do an MRI tomorrow in Huntsville Hospital. So I keep you in your prayers that God will restore her.
Amen. We're going to include these prayers in our closing prayer. But we have any announcements that need to be made. You can give those just very quickly, and then we're going to move forward. While he's doing that, I want to ask that we're going to do some agreeing, touching and agreeing today. Amen. I need a group of ladies that's going to come and stand and touch and agree with Sister Patience. Amen. We need some people that's going to stand and touch and agree with Sister Bone on behalf of her sister. Amen. Amen. I know there's some fear there on her behalf and her part, having visited with her this week, some anxiety. And then we're going to lay hands on Brother CJ because I got a sense about what is going on. The enemy wants to kill you. Yeah. And you ain't the only one in here. Anytime you got assignment on your life, that's what he wants to do. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But we lift up that standard and we're going to touch and agree with you. Amen. And I'm going to come and get directly in front of you in just a moment. But we want you all to go ahead and begin to intercede on her behalf and on behalf of her sister, because there's some things she's got going on that she needs you to cover her in. We need you to touch and agree with Mother Sarah Bone. I want you to be able to touch and agree on behalf of Sister Alma in agreeing in prayer. Amen. I need you praying, saints. I need you praying. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we touch this man of God, this man you have set aside right now. God, we believe you by faith that you have assignment on his life. We come against everything, every agenda, every demonic influence of the enemy right now, every confusion of the mind. We come against it right now in the name of Jesus, pleading the blood over his life. God, we thank you that what you have set in order, nothing can disrupt and destroy. God, we thank you that the works of your Holy Spirit will come to manifestation in his life, God. Everything you have spoken about him and will come through him, God. We pray you and we praise you even right now, God, for that coming to manifestation. And then, God, we pray for the union in the marriage, God, that they would keep them together, keep them on the same page, keep them going in the same direction, God, bringing your glory with their lives. We ask and pray, God, that you would bless this man of God in supernatural and exponential ways, God. We pray that you would open doors through his life and his ministry, God, through the things that you've called him by way of a career, God. Use it to open doors for your kingdom. And then, God, we serve notice to the enemy, God, that we are surrounding him right now, even as you've sent angels to be a hedge of protection around him, God, that he will not die in his sleep. God, you got too much on his agenda, too much on his plate that he has to accomplish for your glory. And God, we thank you for their children. We praise you, God, for his example of fatherhood to those daughters and son. God, we thank you, God, for their service in your kingdom and in his vineyard. God, keep this man of God covered. Let there be no worry and stress, for your word declares that we cannot add anything to ourselves by worrying, but God, by trusting, all things can be accomplished by faith and the walking thereof. God, you can bring great things to pass. Let not there be a diminishing of his faith, but let it increase right now in the name of Jesus. We pray this over his life, God. And then we cover patience right now, even as sisters are around her. God, we touch and agree in her life, God, that you're going to do the completed work that your Holy Spirit demands and calls for. God, we lift up family members that are under attack right now. God, we pray for the sanctity of their mind and their spirit, that they would not lose hope, that they would not be cast away in the midst of the struggle and the storm. But God, use this situation to bring them closer to you, God. Cancel out the enemy's agenda. Remove any debt that they may have, God. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus that you're a merciful God, that you choose to operate in grace. So God, we pray now it would be given fully and freely. Oh God, we thank you right now.
We thank you right now for the work that you're doing. Oh God, we thank you right now for the change and the transformation. We praise you right now, God, that there's strength and there's power in the name of Jesus. Do it right now in the name of Jesus. We ask it right now. And then God, we lift up the Bone family and the Woodard family right now, God. We pray there be no anxiety about what is before by way of sickness. God, we thank you that there's a testimony of healing already in this family. And we pray, God, that by faith that you would show yourself mighty and strong. We believe you by faith, God, that we're healed by the stripes that were laid on your back. And God, we thank you right now that that same power is available unto us today. Oh God, we thank you right now. We thank you that this sister that stands at the altar in the gap is a testimony within herself of what you've been able to do, God, in her body. God, we know it's no secret that what you've done for others, you're able to do right now for somebody else. And so, God, we ask and pray right now that you will release all the healing power of heaven, that you would touch Alma's body right now. We thank you, God, for her service in this household of faith. We believe you by faith now, God, that you have another season beyond this season that you can use her for your glory. God, we pray your will done, that we would understand that all things work together for good to them who love you and are called according to your purpose in glory. And then God, we thank you right now for the unspoken requests around this altar. And even right now in this sanctuary, we thank you, God, that you're opening doors and closing closets. We thank you, God, that there's mercy and grace available to all who will call upon your name right now. And then God, we pray for revival and let it begin in us. Move in our spirit, God. Return the passion for your glory and for your presence to us, your people, God. Move in our midst to remove the stain and guilt of sin. Take it away from us. Remove us from the lust and desires of our flesh. Let us know that there's a change that's been wrought in our lives. Jesus has made us brand new. And then, God, you've given us the assignment to go out and evangelize and to tell the world about this change in us. And let them know that you can do the same thing in their lives. There's nothing too hard for you, God. We thank you that all things are in your hands. We thank you that all things are in your care. And we thank you, God, that it's our desire to remain in your will. We ask it all in the precious, preeminent, powerful name that's above every name. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. That's what I hear in my spirit the church needs to get to. Hallelujah. Can we just say that on our way out of here? Hallelujah. This is the opportunity for us to close this service, giving him glory. Hallelujah. We've heard that hallelujah is the highest praise, but if there were another, we would sing that. Whatever it is that we can offer to God that's of our best, we want to give it to him. Hallelujah. 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 This is what the church is. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Hallelujah. I'm praying the altar filled all this week with lives that are going to be transformed. Hallelujah. Oh, let's just bask in his presence. Lord, we love you. Oh, we love you, Lord. Lord, we love you. Lord, we the reason why I'm linking, because I feel in my spirit that there's somebody else that needs to come, that's wanting to come right now. And the Holy Spirit just says me to just tarry just a minute more. Somebody's still making a decision
They need to release something. They need to let it go right now. This is your day. This is the day we're not in a hurry. We're waiting on you. As the saints are continuing to sing and as we're continuing to pray, let's pray that individual free today. Ooh, hallelujah. Wherever that man is in this sanctuary, we're waiting on you. Oh, this is not the day to pretend that it's all good. Whatever it is you're wrestling with, he's able to